The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 5th of November, 2018. On the podcast today, Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive Officer of Versarion, VRS is ticker there, and Neil provides an update on their letter of intent, which was signed in January with a view to establishing a China UK Jinan Graphene Industrial Park in the Shandong province of China. Also on the podcast, Sachin Oza, Co-Chief Executive Officer of Rehobold Resources, RBD is ticker there, and Sachin explains why they've made a £3 million investment in Rathlin Energy for an equity interest of 37.08%. Plus, talking about Rathlin Energy, David Bramhill, Executive Chairman of Union Jack Oil, discusses their farming agreement with Rathlin Energy for a 16.65% interest in Pedal 183, which includes the Major West Newton gas discovery. I also have two lists, the top fives of the most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, if you want to see the top tens of these lists, go to voxmarkets.co.uk.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio and allocate to unquoted companies, Rockball, one of our sponsors, offers growth equity and high-yield lending for established and profitable private companies. Investing can be tax-efficient, and Rockball Services is based on thorough due diligence and continual company monitoring. Capital at risk. Visit rockball.uk.com or call 0203-8548-100.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ricketts, CEO of Versarion. VRS is ticker. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks. And back in, was it, I think January, you announced a sort of agreement with China, and the share price went a bit crazy there. And you're now coming up with an update, and we'll go through that. Before we do, Neil, as always, I hate to assume people know everything about every company that comes on the podcast. So I know you're well known, well followed. But Versarion, for people listening for the first time or not quite familiar with the company, explain what you're all about, please, Neil.
So Versarion is an advanced materials company. I started in 2011. It's there really to bridge the gap between academia and industry, the products that we use on a day-to-day basis. And the latest thing that we're working on are these two-dimensional materials, including graphene, with the University of Manchester and the University of Cambridge. So a really, really exciting time to be a material scientist or an engineer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, take us back if you could. Give us a bit of background on that agreement announcement back in January, and then take us through what's happened so far.
So in terms of China, as an update, we had a very brief meeting and presentation at the back end of November last year, which resulted in us going out to China in January. We had a very, very hectic 3 or 4 days with the Shandong province. You know, a real powerhouse, really fits with our graphene business because they're a big producer of graphite, which is a precursor to our process. And over that 4 day period, we entered into a letter an intention, a way of getting the discussions going. And then, since then, we've been working on it pretty hard. I flew out with the Prime Minister in February, and that really did generate a huge amount of interest, more interest than we could cope with as a team. So we spoke to the Department of International Trade. They seconded, first of all, Matt Walker to us, who came out of their Overseas Development Initiative. He'd run it, very senior civil servant. Amazing difference to our business, bringing Matt on board. And then we realized that we couldn't even cope with Matt being on board, so we had another civil servant seconded to us, Peter Jay. And Peter's the one who's been working on this. He's only been with us a couple of months, fluent Mandarin speaker, knows the Department of International Trade, knows what the company needs and what the country needs in order to really promote this new technology. And this is just the start of what we're doing. So this is a bit of a shot across the bows for the multiple other companies and organizations that we're talking to in China, you know, over 30, significantly more than 30 now. And the more news that goes out about this, the more progress we make, the more we can expect more and more to come out of these kind of deals.
Yeah. So what is it here you've done with them? What is it in detail? What have you done? What are you hoping to do?
This is a framework agreement. It's kind of a bit different to the other agreements that we've negotiated in the past. This is a district saying, look, we want you. We want you to introduce you to our companies we have here. We want those companies to be producing products with graphene in it. We want to help you in every way we can overcome any challenges you might have in being able to set up and produce in China. So say, for instance, if we had a big company in the UK, it's a bit like the local government saying, come on in, we're going to introduce you and we're going to facilitate anything that's required in order for you to be the product that these big companies use. So it's amazing support. You know, it's a bit like someone doing the work for you. You know, where other people or other companies or other are trying to cold call people, we don't need to do that. If we know someone or they know someone, they just introduce us. And from that perspective, it's a way of being able to really move the business forward, because any business needs commercial connections, it needs contacts, and it needs a way of facilitating those potential orders.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's hard to say when you're speaking to sort of, governments or districts like you are here of a timeline, but what, you know, is there any way of putting a timeline on when you'll be achieving something like production or something like that? What the end goal target? I mean, how long will that take, do you think?
It takes as long as it takes for us to be confident that we've got the right deal for the business. So we need to protect the IP. We need to be able to make sure that we've got all of the necessary paperwork. We've got to make sure that the intentions of the partner that we're dealing with is correct. And this is kind of the first real tangible stage in that whole process. So for us, it's a massive milestone. And, things are accelerating with bringing Peter on board. And, we're absolutely flat out. Some of your readers will know that I'm meant to be in Spain today. Unfortunately, we've had to postpone that. And, I'd like to publicly apologise to my priest, who was meant to be joining me for the day, but he gets to have a lie-in this morning as opposed to flying to Spain at 4 a.m. or whatever. But it's just an indication of exactly how busy we are. We're having to really prioritise what we're doing as a whole team as we take on the challenges not only of China, but Singapore and Japan and Indonesia and India and America and so on. So, you know, there's not a lot of free time at the moment, and unfortunately we've got to make some tough choices. But, in this particular case, I'm really, really delighted that that Peter's been able to work so diligently on this particular deal, which will open up even more doors for us and no doubt will require us to prioritize even more.
Yeah. And are you feeling now, on a sort of macro level, graphene, where is it at? Is it becoming, more commercially acceptable amongst bigger companies? Are they willing to experiment more with it or what?
Yeah, we're overrun with inquiries. We're overrun with people wanting to help us from a national level in terms of the Department of International Trade gives us a badge of honor, a credibility and enables us to have those conversations. But we're starting to see products coming out now, so everything from golf balls to mobile phones, and it's our job to actually be the preferred partner for those kind of applications. So the team is working really, really hard. We've got nothing but good things going on, and it's now about not only scaling up and getting the production and getting the quality and the quantity to meet the new standards, but it's also about this is a brand new science. It's everyone is learning all at the same time. So there are some challenges, and this is a brand new science. So everyone's having to learn, not only the customers but also the company. And over the last 12 months, what superb progress from the business as the largest shareholder. It's really great to see. When you take on and you do things that other people don't normally do, like having DIT secondments, how much of a big difference it can make. And these guys are, they getting their feet going now. So it's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah, yeah. And you say that it is a cutting-edge material, you know, and it's very much in experimental stage going towards commercialization. So it takes a while, doesn't it? I know some people I've seen, you know, having a go at the valuation of what you run about 200 million market cap, and they're saying, you know, this is overvalued. I mean, can you defend that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, ultimately, the CEO doesn't get to choose the market cap. That's dictated by the market. If the market's happy, the valuation goes up. And if the market's not happy, it goes down. Yeah. What I would say, though, is, you know, we know that we have an amazing opportunity in front of us. We know that we've done everything to make sure that we've got the best opportunity, we've got the right connections, we've got central government behind us, you know, who have put in, you know, if you think about the Manchester campus, I bet you that there's almost £1 billion worth of investment gone into either Manchester or Cambridge combined, you know, and you don't get those kind of opportunities. So we've been working hard to make sure we've got the right connections. We've got these guys from the Department of International Trade selling our business all over the world. And, you know, the valuation will be the valuation. And, you know, that might go up, that might come down. We'll wait and see what happens. I know where I think we'll be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Neil, let's, in summary here, for people listening who like the sound of where you're at and the sector you're in, and geographically where you're at as well, give them three quick reasons, if they're not following the story, why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, so the first reason is that we've got these important connections with the Department of International Trade, the University of Manchester, the University of Cambridge, Innovate UK, just about everybody that can help us are big supporters of ours, and that enables a lot of doors to be open. The second thing is that this is an amazing sector to be involved in. It's a new technology, and its uses seem endless. So whether it's electric vehicles or mobile phones and everything in between, it's an exciting proposition. And the final one is the geographical expansion that we're currently seeing is, again, boundless, whether it be the west coast of the US or the Far East. And that means that there are lots of opportunities for us to expand geographically.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. Neil, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Sachin Oza, Co-Chief Executive Officer of Rhea Bold Resources. RBD is the ticker there. Sachin, thanks for joining me again.
Thank you very much for having me, Justin.
Boy, you're working hard for your shareholders. Fair play.
Thank you very much. But yeah, that's what they pay me for. So we're definitely trying to extract value for them, for sure.
Exactly. Well, listen, you've announced an investment in Rathlin Energy UK Limited. So we'll go into that, what that means and what they're doing in a bit. Before we do, if there's someone listening right now not familiar with the company, Rhea Bold, summarise it, please, if you could, Sachin.
Yeah, Rhea Bold Resources is an AIM-listed oil and gas company, and our focus is on low technical risk pre-cash flow oil and gas upstream assets where there's a very clear pathway to monetization. And Rhea Bold is really focused on providing that last piece of capital to get, if you like, the final appraisal well drilled to demonstrate the value of the underlying asset. And then the monetization of the asset can either take place through actually getting the asset into production, as we have done with many parts of our portfolio, or indeed asset sale, because it is a very marketable asset that we've demonstrated the value in.
Yeah. And quickly, just how many investments or interests do you have at the moment?
So there are three separate investments that were made prior to the Rathlin announcement that was made this morning, which makes it four in total. But it extends beyond that in terms of the number of projects specifically. But broadly speaking, we can categorize it as UK, that was made through our investment in Corallian Energy, Romania through Danube Petroleum, and in California, it was via Gaelic Resources. We now have added to our UK position onshore with the Rathlin investment.
Excellent stuff. Well, take us through what Rathlin holds. And I know recently I chatted to the guy, in fact, David Bramill from Union Jack Oil, who also have an interest at project level here. So take us through what's happening with Rathlin, what they got going on, and why did you invest in them?
Sure, absolutely. I'll run through all of that and also just touch on the point with Union Jack as well. So really, this typifies our entire investment philosophy, but let me just run through the investment itself. So Rheobald invested £3 million to take a 37% stake in Rathlin. And Rathlin today has 66.67% of the onshore license pedal 183, which holds the West Newton gas discovery that was made in 2014. And that gas discovery has contingent resources of 189 BCFE of gas and an approximate NPV of $240 million. But also there is upside in a deeper target called the KB, which has a potential prospective resource of 80 million barrels and an extremely substantial NPV associated with it. So that's the investment. And the question is then, you know, why did we make it? And this, again, hopefully exemplifies everything in terms of the strategy I laid out in the beginning, which is the capital that Rheobald's providing is to accelerate the drilling, which is now anticipated to be in Q1 2019 for this further appraisal well on that West Newton discovery. The location of this gas asset is, you know, is strategic for the UK in terms of the infrastructure and requirement for gas in the area. And finally, when we're talking about the capital we provide to get the well drilled, this £3 million investment, we clearly had to work with a consortium of other partners in a way to get this fund fully, to get this well fully funded, because it was beyond just our own capability. And the interactions over the process that we had with the likes of Union Jack led us to that pathway. So we're delighted to have been able to bring all of these strands together to be drilling a well in Q1 2019 that will be transformational for all parties and significantly strategic for the UK and the region. So really excited by this opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm looking here, and you're saying there's sort of gross contingent resource of 189 BCF, which is around about 31.5 million barrels of oil equivalent, and there's a very high chance of success here, isn't there?
There is. So the attributed chance of success at over 70%, and this was done under a CPR with Deloitte, is based on the fact that this 2014 well was a discovery already. So from that point of view, it's demonstrably, you can demonstrably show that it is a high chance of success. Probably a couple of the other features that I'd highlight here is when that well was drilled in 2014, we were still in an extremely difficult place in terms of attracting capital for pre-cash flow type assets. And the other feature, which is sort of a broader point, is that these assets sometimes get stranded because the geology associated with the discovery that was made is somewhat unusual UK onshore, but within the rest of continental Europe and UK offshore, it's a very well understood geology. So for whatever reason, the onshore players didn't really pursue it, and the offshore players don't like coming onshore. So you have this slightly odd situation that it sort of fell between the cracks, if you like, of the industry more broadly, which was good for us because that meant it presented a great opportunity. So just to summarize that again, it was a unique sort of set of circumstances that meant this opened up for us as an opportunity to invest in. It is a high chance of success because it is a geology that is very well understood regionally. And finally, there has already been an appraisal well drilled on this. So for those reasons, it was low risk and made itself available to us.
Absolutely. So just, you know, in summary now, I mean, generally as a company, you've got quite a few bits of big milestone news events happening before the end of the year, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, and this you know, will tie in with the points that we set at the outset, and hopefully why people should follow Rehobold Resources, because everything we say about there being a wealth of opportunities within certainly Europe and parts of North America, which has been our focus to date, continues to present opportunities, although the window is closing in some areas. Working with partners and with asset owners to get these low technical risk pre-cash flow assets to the point of near-term value recognition is something that we work very feverishly to achieve while the window is open. We've demonstrated success in doing so and have now a very exciting campaign over the next 6 months for a series of, I believe, 6 wells to be drilled, each of which will be transformational to the company. And we've already demonstrated success in low technical risk assets, taking them to the point of monetization. There are, believe it or not, still more opportunities that we're looking at. And as we've said in the past, we look forward to executing on those like we have done with Rathlin.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's your 3 points there, isn't it?
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sneaked one extra one in there, so you don't mind. No, I snuck one in.
Yeah. It's fine. That's good. I mean, everyone likes extra points. Why not? So, Sachin, thank you very much for that. And like I said, you're a very busy company. You don't hang around much before news comes out. So, no doubt we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Bramhill, Executive Chairman of Union Jack, all UJOs, ticker there. David, thanks for joining me.
Morning, Justin, and shareholders, people listening, thank you.
Yeah, it's a nice bit of news out today about the farming agreement, and we'll go into that into the Major West Newton gas discovery. We'll talk about the details of that, and some news has come out from another company, which underpins the value here. But before we get into that, David, for people listening who are new to the podcast or not familiar with the Union Jack Oil, give us a brief summary. What's Union Jack Oil all about, please?
I've been delighted. Union Jack was formed a few years ago, and the idea is we're not operators. We focus specifically in the UK onshore, and we take interest in late stage or production interests, which is operated by other companies. And where we see value, we approach, we negotiate, we discuss, and we end up with what we believe are meaningful interests in these particular projects. And that's our modus operandi.
Yeah, and so how many projects do you have now at the moment?
We've 10 projects. Mm-hmm. However, we've 3 what we would consider to be company makers within the portfolio. One would be Wrestle, which I believe most people know all about, but it's a great discovery. And since we discovered it, the oil price has trebled, believe it or not. It's about 28.
It's wow.
We have to get that revalued soon. But we've got an issue with planning on that one, and hopefully we had an inspector take a look. He came out with a route map of what we needed to do, or Egdon as operators of the team. And as far as I'm concerned, I believe they've done an excellent job. So we look forward to the hearing next, whenever it is. Hopefully it'll be this year.
Yeah.
I won't say November because nobody's notified, but hopefully it could be November. Mm-hmm. The next thing we have going for us is Biscafort, where work is going ahead on the pad, drill pad up there. That's in the same area. That was a discovery by BP many, many years ago, 1987, I believe. And we're appraising that. And, of course, this one is sort of it's a big project, what we're involved in now, the West Newton discovery and Rathlin and Connaught.
Yeah, the three company makers you're saying are West Newton, Biscathorpe and Wrestle, and today the announcement is out that you've the farming agreement for a 16.665% interest in Pedal 183, which is the West Newton gas. You've done that. So take us through the details here and some of the numbers behind this, if you could, David.
Well, the numbers are massive, but Rathlin drilled this well 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's class discovery. There's a competent person's report on it. And there's according to the CPR, 183 billion cubic feet. Now, if you put that in context to offshore, that's not a bad discovery. That's almost unheard of. UK, I believe has maybe been two or three in my lifetime of that size. So effectively, that well needs appraisal. We've got 16.65%. Our partners, Amber, have got the same as us. So between us, this could be a very, very nice earner for us, assuming that everything works okay.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, we think it will, and so do Raflin, otherwise we wouldn't be drilling it. Mm-hmm. The immediate figures, we have contingent resources. On completion, it looks like the OGA will be looking at this very, very soon to approve the agreement, the deal. We've never had anything turned down before, so when we've got the cash to pay for it, there was a precedent, and I think without stealing the thunder from another company, that precedent people will see from another company today, Rehobold, they've done a slightly different deal, but they're involved as well, which is nice to see, of course.
Yeah, they've invested in Rathlin itself, haven't they?
They have indeed. They've bought, you know, I won't linger on because it's their deal, their company, but all I can say is I know that they're a very, very excellent team, Rehobold. Highly respectable, know what they're doing, and it's nice to see our beliefs echoed by another company.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had Sachin on the podcast, one of the CEOs there on Friday. Yeah, very switched on. You know, working very quickly and already had success in California, and they've got some big drills coming up here in this country, so they know what they're doing there. But looking at some more figures, so MPV 10% of $247 million and a 52.5 ROR for the gas alone. That's quite impressive, isn't it?
They're impressive figures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And when is this happening, David, with the appraisal well?
Well, the idea is Q1. Everybody's working away. You know what I will say, that the Raflin, Connell, the Canadian, they don't let the grass grow underneath their feet, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And and the appraisal well is fully funded as well, which is also a nice little...
Fully funded. Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 weeks ago, we made an announcement. We raised the money specifically for this well, yeah. So we're well funded. All the cash is coming out of our own balances.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got quite a few things happening in the next 3 to 6 months, haven't you?
It looks really, really good because, as shareholders know, we've been a very groanful 18 months, really, with the oil price and all other things on the periphery beyond our control. Now, that's life. That's what happens. But it certainly looks... everything's lining up now. I've never seen a company, and I don't like to sort of overreact, but goodness me, if one of these comes in, then we've got a decent company.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
We've got a decent company now, but I think you know what I mean. I mean, the cash flow will certainly propel us from being a small company into a medium tier, and I'm quite happy to say that.
Yeah, well, like you say, you know, one of these projects is transformational, and you've got three here happening, and two with very near milestones, so news coming out, so it's very exciting. So, David, one final thing, you're used to this, in summary, for people listening right now, not, you know, following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, I'd be delighted, but what I always say this to you, and I'd probably grate some people, but there is risk.
Yeah.
We're an oil exploration company, development company. Any company like ours comes the back of the fag packet stuff, so I'm going to say that. However, the news flow is going to be terrific with the Biscafor, the Ressort, and Raflin. We've got all the cash. Everything we need to do for this moment in time is covered from our existing cash. And each of those projects could be a company maker. So I think we've got a lot going for us in more ways than one.
Marvellous stuff. David, good to chat to you. And like you say, lots of things going on next 3 to 6 months, so no doubt we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin. Bye-bye, everyone.
OK, it's time for the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Cradle Arc. That's CRA. It's been highly followed. I did some research into them, and It's worth looking at their liabilities because they're quite large, but it's a small cap and they've got cash now due to a loan and a bit of a fundraise, but their liabilities are quite large. Worth looking at that. I don't think the story's been shared there. At four, Core Potash, which is KP2 ticker. At three, Alpha Growth, ALGW. At two, Angus Energy, ANGS. And number one most followed company is Totally PLC, announced interims today. And they're progressing, they're improving their margins, and that's what needs to be done, really. And they took a major transformational acquisition of Voke. But, you know, they've got 9 million cash, so they're valued at 11 million. At the moment, they made, I think, a £500,000 loss. But that will improve, hopefully, if their plan goes the course. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are, at five, N. Condesi Energy, general update. At four, Horizonte Minerals, H&M Holdings and Company. I think that was Canaccord Genuity upping their holding, I think. At three, Vesarion, China update, of course, and Neil chats about that on the podcast. At two, Rehable Resources, investment in Rathlin Energy, of course. That was on the podcast with Sachin, of course. And I say of course a lot today, didn't I? Of course I did. And Sirius Minerals is number one, Teesside Port Construction contract signed. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados, of course.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.